1240 AM WSBC. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Oh.
This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub out in Beverly and in Bridgeport here in Chicago, Fox's Beverly Pizza, Guinness Irish Stout,
yum,
and Flood Brothers Disposal. My yes. name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. And joining me to my left, as always, is twin brother Billy. Billy?
Hello.
Hello, Bill. And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien.
Clay. Hey, hi. How you doing? Hey, what's going on?
Welcome. Another week. We're back. We're getting closer to St. Patrick's Day.
I am
not excited at all.
Me neither.
We didn't have it last year.
Nope.
It's not a shock to me this year.
I'm going
to
eat Jamaican food.
Well, it'll be a distant memory before. You're going to eat Jamaican food on St. Patrick's Day? Why not?
Absolutely.
You know? But I'm hoping that some of our listeners will some way find a way to have a day of fun on that day.
But everyone will.
It's everyone wants to do these virtual St. Patrick's Day parties.
Well, yeah. I don't. If you ask me, people are going to be celebrating because I'm getting my butt kicked at work.
Yeah, oh, Billy, yeah. You're dragging today. For our listeners, we wanted to start the show, and Bill was running a little bit behind. And
it's dropping off kegs of green beer.
Well,
everywhere.
It's not that. And you know what's kind of funny about the liquor business is that, you know, last year around St. Patrick's Day is when the panic started to set in.
Right.
Yeah. So everybody was buying booze like crazy.
That booze is gone.
And so it was March and April where we saw spikes in alcohol sales like you haven't seen in the last 40 years.
400.
You know, who knows? Probably since Prohibition. And
since Columbus.
This year, it's our wonderful, since Columbus,
We haven't sold this much booze since Columbus.
Yeah.
Columbus Day? No, since he landed.
Yeah. A lot of people might disagree with that statement, say Columbus was the one drinking all the booze, hurting people, you know, who knows?
He was not a friendly person.
Yes, he was.
Kind of some. it's like trying to, you got to redo these numbers from the previous year, and it's tough. It's tough.
I bet you didn't think that your little liquor conversation would land us into a Christopher Columbus.
No, I did not. No.
But I'm sure impersonation and debate.
I'm sure woke debate.
I'm sure he liked a very tasty cognac.
Hey, what are you guys doing on the Hooli's Hooli later? Well, we have a woke Christopher Columbus discussion right at the top of the show, if you're interested.
It's a hot topic.
We're going to talk St. Patrick's Day. We're going to kick into booze, and then we're going to talk about that.
How come Vasco da Gama doesn't get that much attention?
I don't know.
Can we get a da Gama debate?
Or a Mangellan debate?
I'm sorry, who?
Mangellan?
That's a porn actor.
Yeah.
Mangellan, the porn actor.
Stevie Mangellan.
You're talking about Ferdinand, is it Ferdinand Magellan, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
You said Mangellan.
I said Mangellan.
Okay. What about that dude Mangellan? What'd he do? Across the
Desplaines
River. Our listeners
must be...
Tommy Mangellan across the Desplaines River.
Tommy Mangellan crossed the Desplaines River. Did you hear?
We ain't sold this much booze since Tommy Mangellan crossed the Desplaines River. Understood, guy?
In 2009.
Yeah.
That's right.
Tommy Mangellan's from River Grove.
Right. Yeah. What's the name of his boat?
His boat is the same name as Tom Brady's boat.
His boat is called the Knight of Columbus.
La Viva Vite or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or Push Spears.
Pump Spears.
Yeah.
That's right. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski have a speedboat called Pump Spears.
Man, Jones is Pump Spears, too.
All right.
Yeah.
T-O-O.
Other than that, Bill, how's your week been?
That's what I, you know, going into these stores and setting up these mass displays. I hope everyone drinks their butt off this year. That's
they will.
I'll
Don't
say.
Worry about it. Everyone's losing their mind.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a very, you know, for a lot of people, probably in all sales this month and next month is a very, like.
It's crucial.
Well, it's not that. It's just, it's unrealistic to a lot of, because you're like, these numbers aren't, nobody ever had to go up against these kind of numbers before.
Aren't 50% of the bars closed? You know, like, how are they comparing apples to apples here? They're not.
They're not. This is all about the dollars,
dude. You want me to speak to somebody?
It's all about greed, my friend.
Who do I got to talk to?
I don't know. Maybe you give Ferdinand Mangellan a call. I don't know.
See if we
maybe he can figure out some statistics from the Nielsen ratings and help us out, right?
He's crossing Salt Creek this week.
He's crossing Salt Creek, then he's headed over to the Graw Mill for a press conference.
You still fishing? Speaking of all these bodies of water.
I hit fishing.
I thought you guys were talking about shopping malls. You can't.
Hey, 1 second. We're talking.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be casting away in May. I'll be back. I'll be going up to Winnicani again, my spot.
Oh, okay. You can cross that with Magelli.
I'm sure at some point he was around there.
All right. Sorry, Pat. I was just kidding.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm wondering what people are going to do for St. Patrick's Day. I've asked people, like, are there parties going on? What's going on?
Right.
There definitely are. People just aren't talking.
No, yeah. People are going to do what they want.
Everything's on, you know, quiet.
It's a QT.
Speakeasy. Speakeasy time.
It's a speakeasy St. Patty's Day.
It's a speakeasy March.
Which is, it is. Any better for St. Patrick's Day? It's a speakeasy month. Is that what you said?
I said March, but yes.
Oh, March, yeah. Perfect.
Speakeasy month.
It's a commercial for St. Patrick's Day.
Drink quietly.
Drink quietly.
Drink privately and quietly, thank you. And irresponsibly.
But yeah, I don't think I'm going to
climb a stage.
You're still here, Fetter? This bit died 15 seconds ago.
I'll never die.
I haven't...
Are you going to a secret party?
Maybe.
Come on.
I've been invited to some.
Ooh.
You know?
By who?
Maybe I'm throwing one.
The Vanderswans?
Yeah, the Vanderswan brothers. they're having a crypto party.
Crypto's, I forgot who they are.
They're the most successful real estate brothers duo in Florida history.
Is that true?
Yes.
All right.
In the ethos of this program, it is.
Yes. If you listen to archives, you can find all our silliness if you go to hibernianradio.org, or you can find us on iTunes and search for it there, and you'll know exactly who the Vanderswans are if you scroll back about 30 episodes.
All delicious characters.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of delicious characters, do you know where you can find some of them?
Where's that at?
The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub.
Oh, yeah.
This show's presented by it. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago-Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Do it. Get a free toothpick and go to Fox's. It's a great spot. I actually had their meatball sandwich last night.
Oh, how did that go down?
Pretty dang good.
Nice.
You know?
Good for you.
How is your new Buick, Billy Buick? You got a new car.
Billy Enclave.
Loving it.
Billy Enclave. Yes, it's an enclave, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice automobile.
Mm-hmm. Yes, put the order in for 400 cases of Jameson, but Billy Enclave talking to you.
Sounds like a Danish DJ.
It does, doesn't it?
Billy Enclave tonight.
Right.
At level.
Right.
Spinning tonight.
Spinning tonight with Marshmallow is Billy Enclave.
That's right.
Marshmallow. I love to punch Marshmallow.
He's a guy, isn't he?
He's a billionaire.
Is there a DJ named Marshmallow? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Marshmallow.
Yes, Bill,
his name is Marshmallow Head.
There's a DJ named anything, you know that?
Peanut Butter.
DJ Butthole.
Yeah.
You know?
DJ Chocolate.
Right.
DJ Foot Fungus.
Right. Absolutely. He's huge.
DJ Skittle?
Maybe? Yeah, that was you, I think.
Yeah, I thought we had a DJ Skittles, didn't we?
Bill doesn't even know his own aliases.
Anyway, have you been playing any DJ Skittles in your new enclave?
Lots of jams going on.
Yeah, what was
the
first jam you put on? Being like, let's blast it.
The first jam I did
here
was...
Here I go again, I'm Billy Flynn down the freeway.
Oh, yeah. Tony Soprano style.
I think it was an AC/DC song I might have heard from one of these shows. Long Way to the Top, if you want to rock and roll.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's a good one to start
off. Clay, he called me as soon as he got it. He's like, I'm in the alley. Come on out.
Nice.
You know, I go, oh.
Let's smoke this thing up.
Right, you guys want to take
your heaters ready.
Right.
Pack them up.
Is the Enclave smoke friendly?
Yeah, of course. Enclave is French for smoky.
Yes. It is French for smoky. Oh, it's very Enclave in here. Yes, Clay, he invited me in, and we went for a spin. My daughter came in, too. She was impressed. Yeah. It's a very large car, but it's leather seats. And
it's decked out.
It's got the big silver rims. Now, I'm worried. My first fear, I have to say it, and I didn't even tell you, Bill, I'm like, Bill, don't get carjacked for this thing.
Yeah, what do you got for protection? A German Shepherd in the back seat?
It's protected. It's protected. But no, I don't have any...
Swords?
No, maybe I have to get an old... I need an old T-ball bat or something like that.
Yeah, that'll stop everybody. You know?
That's usually stopped.
Don't take the car, I got a T-ball bat.
Those are known to stop bullets.
Right. Some people could. If you could swing it fast
Seagal,
enough.
Maybe.
Seagal the victim put the assailant off with an old T-ball bat he had in the car.
You should get a Seagal.
That actually would be a great scene in a movie of Seagal swinging.
It always comes back to Seagal. Billy's mind is on Seagal. 90% of the day.
You should just get a Seagal mask, and then when the carjacker approaches the window, throw it on, turn left, they'll see that ponytail swing.
Today I was so angry I wanted to take a T-ball bat to a display that I did. I was so mad at it.
What was it, St. Pauli girl? Nice.
No, it was just there's a program that goes on at a certain store, and it's called, you know, actually
Liquor for Children.
March is Women in Wine Month.
Yeah, for our listeners who haven't heard before, Bill is a liquor salesman by day,
and it's catering there's end caps at stores and programming that goes on that's catered towards the promoting of brands that female winemakers.
Okay, sure.
All right, and it's this month to, you know, boost the sales on those.
March is Ladies Wine Month.
Yeah.
Lady Winemaker Month.
Lady Winemaker Month.
Yes. Lady Winemaker.
So
another song by Eddie Vedder. He's got more hits on our program.
Lady Winemaker.
But there's a lot of different. There's a lot of different wines out there that are made
by
women.
Lady Winemaker sounds like an entertainer, an old vaudeville entertainer, doesn't it?
It's like a vampire.
Did you know his mother was Lady Winemaker? Come on, showbiz runs in the blood.
Actually, is there? There might be something called Vampire Wine. I'm not positive on this, but
I should start a wine business, even though I don't drink. I would never be able to taste it.
Yeah,
I'd have to have a taster.
But I was setting up what I was getting to is I was
better.
Setting up.
That's even better.
Setting up displays in stores, and I'm sure a lot of people that have merchandised any of their brands or products at any kind of a corporate store account knows that they're supposed to follow programming.
Oh, yeah. Bill, look, there it is. Vampire Wine. Oh, Mike Sarkowski, our producer.
Yeah, neither was. Yeah.
Join the club. A wine club starting. What's a wine? There's all these wine clubs.
Wine
now.
Clubs are big, man. But
find
anyways,
me a winemaker that doesn't drink.
You're not going to, I don't think. There's probably somebody out there.
Well, that's like finding a gym shoemaker who only wears dress shoes, you know? Did you know the guy who invented Air Jordans wore wingtips?
Do you know
wingtips?
That Phil Knight has never actually worn Nikes?
Right. He's been wearing
Allen Edmonds
for
60 years. He's
been wearing Brookstones this whole time.
Brookstones.
Is that its shoe name?
It is now. He had a pair of fine leather Brookstones on. He's never touched an Air Jordan in his life, but he created them.
He always kept a bottle of boot oil in his back pocket.
Absolutely. And he drank vampire wine. A yeah. real character.
So Phil. Anyways, anybody that goes into these stores...
Is that was Lady Winemaker. Come on.
Anybody that goes into these stores...
The displays are beautiful, Bill.
Yes, but the programming every day is based off of different demographics, and not every store has the capability to do what exactly
schematics.
Is being called out for, so you kind of have to improvise on the fly, right?
It's output versus input.
Correct. And normally...
Usually is.
Normally on... end caps or displays you see, it's usually one or two brands might be featured, right?
Yep.
But in this instance, because we have a lot of different female winemakers out there, there's all this, you have to like try to see how many you can fit into
right.
one display.
Sure, sure.
You know, out of your book of business. And a woman today, you know, I did a Costanza, you know, Serenity Now moment, you know, where
yeah.
I had to walk out of the store and go into my car. You know, light a heater, relax, take a deep breath.
Put yeah. a thunderstruck.
Yeah. Then go back in and be like, okay, you know, like handle this.
I'm
don't
composed.
Lose your cool.
Don't punch a woman.
Don't go get the T-ball bat and bring it back inside and start swinging out everything in the display.
Should have shown her a picture of the T-ball bat you're about to buy.
See,
Amazon.
This is part of the display,
see this,
too.
See this in my cart on Amazon?
This is the moment. This is the moment where I come back in and start breaking everything with this.
This is where I go to jail.
Yeah, right. This is when I lose my job.
Yeah. It's my job, my Buick, and
so,
my...
So, no,
what was it that set you off, Bill?
Well, what happens is like, you know, you do... By the time you've done your fourth or fifth display of the day, mm-hmm. you're kind of... You're hitting
you're
that...
You're tired.
You're hitting that threshold of walking on a thin line.
The Doritos you know? And yeah. cigarettes are wearing off.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Doritos, the pops, the cigarettes, you know, the energy sources dwindle.
Traffic's building.
Well, no, it's late in the day. You're getting hungry.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you're cutting into my time now.
Yeah.
You know? And
you're chasing a...
You open your cigarette box just to count the cigarettes. You're not going to smoke one. You just want... How many I got
right
now?
Oh, that's a horrible feeling.
Isn't that the worst? That's when you know you're a real cigarette pig.
You're a real scumbag.
When you're just like walking through the store and you're like, I'm not going to have a cigarette, but I'm curious. How many do I have left? Oh, I better get more.
Then you get... I can't believe we talk about cigarettes so much. But then you get the soft pack and you get the hidden one.
Right.
And it's like finding gold.
Yes, it is.
Or
when
you thought you were out, you crunch the pack and you go, no! You feel that there was one in there.
Oh, that's like...
It's infuriating, right?
That's like Alanis Morissette.
Well, Bill,
ironic.
I'm... Anyways, what I'm saying, you know, getting back to...
It is like Morissette.
Somebody tells you... there's pictures of the way that these things are supposed to look, and then there's sometimes you're just improvising.
Yeah.
Right. So what'd you do?
Well, I improvised.
You did one that she said, this is poo-poo.
She didn't say this was poo-poo.
She showed you a picture saying
she was like, oh, looks good, but it's actually supposed to look like this. And I was like, does it really matter?
Nobody gave me the blueprints.
Well, you know, I'm like, there's a booger on the eye wiped on in front of the price tag over there. You might want to take care of that before you want to critique me on how the display looks.
Did you tell her
that? Kind of a,
did you put the booger there as a decoy?
I put the booger as a decoy to throw her off. No, I didn't. Nah.
I'm going to do a real lackadaisical
job
here.
It's like when you're training a merchandiser. The next time you want to get lazy, you plant the booger on a price tag.
It's the oldest trick in
the
book.
And if they get lip with you about how the display looks, you go, hey, why don't you take care of that booger over there, and then maybe we could talk.
That's how Phil Knight started Nike.
It is.
Yeah, he told the Chinese about a booger on a wall or something?
No, he told his first employee. He did the booger trick on him.
I did a booger trick on him.
He stole the shoes from Korea.
Yes, he did. The booger trick is an old trick. An old devious
it's like
one.
Hey, did you get the papers for the tax approval? No. Didn't you do the booger trick on the guy? Should have been approved weeks ago.
They did the booger trick on your tax account every year. Hey, can we talk about your shirt for a minute?
You want to talk about my shirt?
Is it two shirts or one?
It's two.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I got two. I got a flannel on.
But look at the sleeves.
Yeah.
Are they folded over like?
Yes, they are. See, they have
They're sewn.
They're sewn. They have nylon sewn in on the inside of the cuff here. This is a vintage flannel shirt.
And then you're wearing a short sleeve shirt underneath.
I have a short sleeve like golf shirt underneath.
Bitch.
Yeah. But see, now that I'm ectomorphing, I can fill out my clothes lovely, and I can actually wear two shirts, two collared shirts, and it doesn't look weird.
It still looks a little
I can
weird.
Wear a collared shirt as like kind of a sweater.
It's very deceiving what you have on.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I love it. I've gotten quite a lot of compliments about my attire lately, and I thank Goodwill Industries for that.
Thank other people.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. Every time we mention Goodwill, we ring a bell here.
You should be That's thanking right. the public.
Yeah, I am. Thank you for throwing away clothes that fit me well. Your garbage is my treasure.
Yeah. Make sure there's
Your
no
garbage
boogers
garbage is
it.
My garment.
The only downside is when you're at Goodwill and someone puts the old booger trick on something they want that they don't have enough money for that puts they want to come back for later.
Does
you know?
The old booger trick on that like, fedora.
Oh, look at this beautiful bomber coat. Oh, it's $14.
A little booger decoy on this fedora.
Let me wipe a booger on this, and I'll go home and get the money. And no one will buy a shirt with a booger on it. But I'll buy a booger shirt of my own booger.
I'll come back with my $2.
Well, I don't know.
Cents.
Right. If you're ever running short on money at Goodwill and you want to make sure no one takes it before you come back, you wipe a booger
like licking
on
it. Licking
shirt.
A cheeseburger you don't want anyone to take a bite of.
Right. Because nobody buys a booger-ridden shirt from Goodwill.
Nobody buys a booger-ridden shirt.
Thank you, Mr. Vetter.
You're welcome.
Anyway, I spoke about your car, Bill, because yes, I am worried about, like, I'm like, I hope nobody tries to carjack it because they've been very frequent.
Prevalent.
I
don't think they want any of our cars.
I'll tell you
but
what.
But then, you know what?
You wipe a
booger on a carjacker's forehead, he'll let you keep the car.
You got to do reverse psychology on the carjacker. You know what
really?
You do? As soon as they rush up, you go, get in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You just flip it on the guy.
Like, we're getting away. We got to get away.
Right. Where do you want to go? Because like, I don't want you to drive. No, I got to drive. It's my car.
Or you just look him dead in the eyes.
You get it?
You look him dead in the eyes and you go, let's go to Culver's.
Yes. You like butter burgers? We're going to Culver's.
Who's
going
to say no to that?
Nobody. Hashtag Culver's.
Yeah. Did you hear about the chicken sandwich wars going on?
Well, there's the new one.
Well, Popeyes has theirs.
Right, which was all the rage about a year ago.
And then Chick-fil-A has theirs.
Okay, I've
and
had
now
theirs.
Now McDonald's has come out with like three.
Really?
Yeah.
Bill. Yeah, I heard they're no good.
Bill?
I've heard. I haven't had them. I haven't had them. I have a close friend of mine who had them, and he did not give them a good review. He said Popeyes is still where it's at.
Oh, my God.
And
the
I think so,
thing
too.
Was a giant waste of time.
Well, you know, if you feel like investing your money in the biggest Irish American restaurant in the world, go for it.
Pat, can I play my song today?
We can, but there's one story I want to get to we do that because it does kind of lend itself to carjackings and hijackings.
Oh,
Did you read about this from Too Much Zuck?
Oh,
of course.
Geez.
TMZ. Lady Gaga, stolen bulldogs back home sale.
Oh, yeah. Know all about it.
It's all been resolved, except the guy who got shot.
Yeah, for our listeners that don't know, Lady Gaga's beloved French bulldogs, Koji and Gustav, have been returned after her dog walker was shot in the chest trying to save the dogs in Hollywood. You see, why try, right?
Yeah,
give up the car, give up the dog.
Just book, as we used to say in the 90s.
Law enforcement sources tell TMZ a woman turned the dogs in Friday night to an LAPD station. We're told the dogs were unarmed and have been reunited with Gaga. The dogs were unarmed. That's what the story's about.
I thought you said they had were holding guns.
The dogs.
They were unarmed.
Yep, the dogs are unarmed and have been reunited with the Gaga team.
The dogs had switchblades, but they took them away.
You know Lady Gaga's dog carries a .45?
He's a real son.
Which one? Is it Koji or Gustav?
Oh, it's
Gustav.
It's definitely Gustav.
I know it was Gustav. He's Russian.
He's mild-tempered.
Right. Actually, maybe that's a new character. Lady Gaga's dog, Gustav. Russian
Gaga, the mild-tempered bulldog?
Lady Gaga, this bores me.
Well, our sources, they're at TMZ, say the woman appears to be a good Samaritan, claims she found the dogs and brought them in. The LAPD is continuing to investigate, and the shooters are still on the loose.
You know they put her under the lights.
Yeah. Sources close to Gaga tell us she cried tears of joy when she got the news. It's currently unclear if and when the woman will be rewarded $500,000.
Here's the question. Wow.
Offered by Gaga for the return of Gustav and Koji.
Did the dogs cry when they saw her?
They did, yeah. Do dogs cry? Yeah, aww, they cry, you know.
Wasn't that a Prince song?
I think so.
It's when doves cry.
It's when doves cry, but do dogs cry is a good one. Right?
Yeah, maybe dogs cry.
That's one Eddie Vedder needs to sing.
Do dogs cry?
Right.
Tears of pain.
Do dogs cry? Tears of pain? Sure they do. TMZ broke the story. Two of Gaga's pups were abducted Wednesday night when thieves confronted her dog walker on the street and shot him.
That's nuts.
Lady Gaga, who was in Rome working on a new movie at the time, offered $500,000 for the dog's return. No questions asked. Surveillance video from a neighboring home showed the brazen attack, and you hear one of the thieves cock a gun and tell Gaga's dog walker, Ryan Fisher, to give it up before a struggle ensues and the gun goes off.
Wow. Dude, just give it up. When someone says Fisher, give it up.
Who was shot in the chest, was walking three of Gaga's French bulldogs when he was attacked, and one pooch, Asia, was able to run away from the thieves before coming back to the injured dog walker.
Smart.
Our sources told Lady Gaga was extremely upset by the scary incident, but all three dogs are safe and sound. Who cares? What about the old Ryan Fisher? The guy gets shot in the chest, and Gaga's camp is like, are the dogs okay? You know?
Did she give him $500,000?
She should have.
She should give him $5
million. You know, like, give him the money, you know?
She can wipe her butt with $5
million. Yeah. Lady Gaga can wipe her butt with $5 million. You kidding?
That's what my financial advisor told me.
Right. Well, I mean, you're only making $100,000 a year. You're talking... I mean, Lady Gaga wipes her butt with $5
million. Yep.
But then again, she's related to Lady Vampire.
She's related to Gustav.
Right. Gustav. And he's a Russian oligarch, and, you know...
Oligarch.
Did I say it right? It doesn't matter.
Oligarch and Mangellan over here.
Right. Those should have been the names of her dogs.
That's the name of a cop show. Oligarch and Mangellan. Worst detective duo in Chicago.
What was Magellan? Was he Italian?
He's a Spaniard, I think, wasn't he?
Spanish?
Francis Magellan?
Frank? Frank Magellan, LAPD.
What kind of nut, though, won't give up the dogs? Like,
a dog lover.
Yeah, but still, a guy puts a gun to your head, and they're Gaga's dogs.
I guess it was
dogs.
Totally random, too, but those dogs are like $3,000 to $4,000 per dog.
So, is your life worth that much?
Portuguese.
Absolutely. Magellan. Yeah, Magellan was Portuguese.
So we get a Portuguese, and who's the other guy? Oligarch?
Oligarch is just...
He'll be a Russian.
Oligarch. It's an oligarch.
So we get a Portuguese-Russian cop show.
Right.
Start writing it.
Magellan
Oligarch.
Wear
that shirt while you write it. Those shirts, I should say.
It's very lumberjacky. Yep, this shirt.
Yeah, it's very brawny.
It is brawny. I had this tailored, believe it or not, this shirt.
I'm sorry to hear that.
By Gustav, Lady Gaga's dog. He said, you want me to take it back in a little bit? Roof. I said, yes.
You want me to hem this?
He's the craziest dog tailor in all of
He's
L.A.
He's the most talented dog out there.
Yep.
Wow. Well, I hope everyone turns out all right there.
Me situation. Too.
That kid out of the hospital yet or no?
Yeah, he's okay. He's safe, but it's like... I'm just shocked that people in Hollywood are that far gone.
He's gonna get
that
branded.
They're so desperate to. No, he was like a production assistant on a movie. Who's like scared, you know, because celebs have power. So these lower level people on the totem pole in the entertainment business are so desperate to work. This guy takes a bullet in the chest for Gaga's dog, you know.
Yeah, not this guy.
And like, I mean, he should be. I hope that the Gaga camp, you know, takes care of this guy 20 times over. But I just find it funny that the media is like, well, the dogs are okay, you know, because that's what the story was. It's like the story was the guy was shot.
What about right. You see all those commercials about to save the dogs, you know? It's all about the dogs, man.
Forget about humans. It's all about the dogs.
They have those too, but
yeah.
All that money's going to warlords anyway.
See, if I was walking the dogs, I would have just, like, let them go, then I would have walked back to the house, wiped a booger on Gaga's car, and hoped that the booger decoy... would take away from the fact that the dogs were missing.
As soon as the car...
Where are the dogs at? I don't know, but who wiped this booger on the car?
No, you know? As soon as the jackers pull up, you wipe three boogers on each dog.
Yeah, that might, you know.
Right. And the dogs say, what are you doing? You say, these are repellent boogers. Quiet, Gustav.
These are decoys, Gustav.
Some people might consider that cruelty, wiping a booger on a dog, which I believe it probably would be. Gustav, is that animal cruelty?
Gustav, Koji.
Yeah, is wiping a booger on a dog animal cruelty?
You'd probably get 5 years.
Not if you're trying to defend the dog's life.
You get the death penalty for that in Pakistan.
You could get the death penalty for wiping a booger on a dog in Pakistan?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll look into that. Pakistani law number 7. Don't wipe booger on dog.
Pakistani law firms. Mm-hmm. The yellow pages.
The Pakistani law firms and the yellow pages.
Intern, give me a list of 100 Pakistani law firms before Kamerk's commercial break. Make it quick.
I got some very important questions.
Got very important questions regarding Gustav and Koji and boogers and French bulldogs and Lady Gaga. Now hurry up. The listeners are curious.
Write them out longhand.
Right, yeah. If we have a copy machine here. No. Get me a long-handed list of a couple hundred Pakistani attorneys before break.
And I want the spelling to be impeccable.
Yes, no spelling errors.
No spelling errors.
You know, I hate that.
That's crazy. That's like, I think that sounds like something our former president might say in the Oval Office.
No spelling errors, please.
Oh, this is nuts. Somebody give me a... Give me a list of a couple of hundred Pakistani law firms in New York City. I want it written out longhand. No spelling errors, please.
That is quite possible. He has said that.
I don't
want
to sound like the Hooli Bros. Just they can't even say Magellan or Oliagag.
Can we talk about my lunch?
You go ahead. We can talk about your lunch anytime.
They opened up a jerk chicken place, Jamaican style cuisine. On Northwest Highway and Nagel on the corner. It's been about 22 different restaurants in the last 5 years.
Right.
But it looks like they found their...
Found the niche?
Niche. I went in today. There was probably 8 cops in there, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
And it was packed. And I got the chicken dinner combo. It was unbelievable. It was really amazing, amazing stuff.
Okay.
I think I may have been infected with rhabdomyolysis.
Really?
Yes.
And that's why you want to play this song?
Indeed.
Let's do it. Who is it? It's Peter Tosh.
Peter Tosh. This is dedicated to my chicken today.
Beautiful. It's Peter Tosh doing Reggae Melitis, dedicated to Clay's chicken lunch.
Woke up this morning with a funny, funny feeling. And that feeling was an unusual feeling. In my bones, yeah. It in my blood. Thank you.
I have it in my toes, in my ankle, in my knees, up to my waist, under my ribs, across my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Reggae Malitas, dedicated to Clay's jerk chicken lunch he had this afternoon. You're very proud of it. You can't, when I got out of the car
tonight, I'm very excited about it.
You were like, I had a great chicken. Well, maybe it's because we talked about beefs last
week. Well, there's nothing like finding a good spot in your neighborhood.
Good spot. Know? And I used to drive to this place, Nick's Pit Stop, which is also a chicken place that I loved. And it's just, it's on Damon and Armitage, just too far to go, you know, every day. So this place I could walk to. So God bless St. Bess is the name of it.
Oh, hashtag St. Bess.
Jerk chicken. The staff is super friendly.
Support small and, business.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
During the little song break there, I discovered that it... So I was curious. I wondered if the thieves who took Gaga's dogs...
Yes.
Knew that if they were Gaga's
they
dogs.
They did not.
So it says here that French bulldog thefts are on the rise.
It's a thing.
Yeah. So like it's like get a microchipped, I guess.
It's like an iPhone.
Right. I got to get my French bulldog microchipped. I'm sorry. I'm not going to make the party.
You know what you should do?
What?
Release a line of robot dogs so people don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's been done.
Make them too heavy to lift up.
Right. How come nobody ever steals the robot dog? I put all the money in the robot dog. Lady Gaga stolen pups are part of an alarming trend. French bulldog thefts are on the rise, but breeders say there is a few things folks can do to keep the dogs safe. Hanchos et Francours, French bulldogs.
What?
I know. Yeah, forget it. I'm not going to pronounce
Buy
it.
Buy an ugly dog.
Right. A French bulldogs breeder in California tells TMZ, stealing Frenchies has recently become a thing. It's happening in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix, and they're advising French bulldog owners not to walk their dogs at night.
This guy's got his own boat. He runs a French bulldog thievery ring out of Phoenix.
Yeah. Folks at French Bulldog Puppies Los Angeles say they're telling their celebrity clients to be extra careful with the dogs because thieves know Frenchies are in demand and expensive. We're told puppies can be worth up to $20,000, and older dogs can still fetch $2,500. You got any used old French bulldogs for sale?
Preferably stolen.
It can be on its deathbed. It's just for my Instagram photo ops. You know what I mean? That's sick. Lucky for Gaga, her dogs were returned unharmed. We already know. Okay. Wow, that's nuts. Get robbed for your dog.
Yeah. Well, that is nuts.
You know what else is nuts? There's a little synchronicity this week. I'll shout it out here because I loved seeing it. We've talked about John Sadowski on the program before. He went to Carmel with us.
Yes, sure.
He's an actor out in L.A. He was the lead on Young and Hungry, a show on ABC Family for a number of years. He's a buddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a great buddy, but a friend who went to Carmel. And then I had a friend in common with him, Andy Madden. Shout mm-hmm. out to Andy.
Sure.
Who had also struck up a friendship with Sadowski in college. And then I was roommates with Andy after college for a little while. So I started seeing Sadowski more.
Mm-hmm.
And we cultivated a friendship. But anyway, last time I was out in L.A. for a business trip, I hooked up with him. He told me a couple, and some of our other buddies out there.
Right.
And this was a few years back, and he was like, we were talking movies and stuff. And then a couple days later when I got home, he sent me a message on Facebook, was like, what's the name of, like, have you read any good books lately that I could turn into a movie, you know? And I was like, well, and I'm not a voracious reader by any part. But,
right.
Just
a hustler here.
No,
and there,
he was looking for like original, yeah, just, I'm not a voracious reader, just a hustler here and there. That's where I learned most of my vernacular and booger jokes. I credit Mr. Flint with everything.
Mm-hmm. With all my success.
Quite a humorist he was. Humor one, bono second.
Yep.
Anyway. Sadowski sent me this message. He's like, hey, man, I'm looking for books that I want that can be turned into a movie that I could probably option the rights to, that aren't taken already by big studios.
Right.
There's another kid who went to Fenwick who's like a year older than us, Fenwick High School in Oak Park, and mm-hmm. his name is Kevin Jakubowski, and he's Timmy Funke's cousin.
Sure. Right? Mm-hmm.
And he had worked for Trey Parker and Matt Stone. He started his career with the South Park guys, and then he started working on a lot of children's programs and developing a few of his own for Nickelodeon. He wrote a book mm-hmm. called 8-Bit Christmas, which was about growing up in Batavia, the Christmas of 1987, his own family.
Mm-hmm.
And it surrounds the story of a young boy who longs for a Nintendo for Christmas.
Yep.
That
classic tale.
Yeah, but the book has kind of an omniscient narrator, which is really, you know, him, Kevin, and he tells the story of that Christmas, and it had a lot of Christmas Story vibe to it, you know, Gene Shepard. And I was like, this reminds me of Christmas Story, and it's a great modernization of that tale for, you know, Xennials, right? My generation and their kids. Anyway, I read it and I told Sadowski, I was like, yeah, there's a small book by another guy who went to Fenwick who works, you know, you have a Catholic League connection there. You should hit this guy Jakubowski up and read 8-Bit Christmas. So Sadowski was like, okay, cool. Well, he did, and he ended up optioning the rights. And I read in the Hollywood Reporter two days ago that the film has been greenlit and they're shooting it in Toronto starring Neil Patrick Harris.
Doogie
and Steven Zahn, right, mm-hmm. as the leads.
Steven Zahn.
Right.
He was in a little film called...
Out of Sight. Lots of them.
Yeah, no, it's a comedy. It was really good.
He's in Safe Men.
Safe Men, yes.
He's also in Saving Silverman.
Yes, that as well.
Anyway.
And Daddy Daycare.
Big shout out to those guys. Yeah, New Line Max, original movie, 8-Bit Christmas in production.
So
I was like, no way, you know?
Yeah.
So I looked for my old messages from Sadowski on Facebook Messenger. Like, I remember recommending mm-hmm. it, but he's not on it anymore. So I went on Instagram and I sent him a note. And I said, you know, congrats on that.
You owe me some money.
No, well, no. But his response was very gracious, you know? And he was like, dude, thank you again. You know, can you believe the synchronicity in that? That actually ended up happening. And it really did just kind of start from you guys' messaging back and from us just loosely chatting and putting together a kind of Catholic League connection. And then I got this movie greenlit for $26 million.
Nice.
Nice.
My only wish is that they didn't get to shoot it in Chicago, right? They went to Toronto.
Tell them to
and
put
it's supposed
you
to take
in
place
it.
In Chicago.
Say, give me a roll.
Nah.
Come
give me
on,
a roll.
Make me a cab driver.
Can I play a booger wiping French bulldog thief in the movie? Mike, you have a good note there. You should get an invite to the premiere. No, I don't think so. Maybe. I sent John a note. I was like, give me a special thanks credit, you know, in the movie, like, for making something like that actually happen, you know? But I'm not sure, you know, he's probably guarded about that kind of thing, you know? Like, oh.
See if you can play Peter Tosh in the film.
And I don't want him to feel that way.
Can you cast me as Peter Tosh?
Is there a Peter Tosh role in 8-Bit Christmas? Can you write one in for me?
Does he make an appearance anywhere?
Can I play one of the kids' boogers?
Can I play the voice of one of the kids' boogers?
Right, I just want to be the voice of the booger.
Patty, booger number two, you got the role.
Mm-hmm.
Mangellan, yeah.
Mangellan the Booger?
That's your stage name.
I want to be Mangellan the Christmas Booger in your movie.
That's right.
The Explorer Booger.
I'm an exploring Christmas Booger, Magellan.
I get wiped on the side of a car that takes Mangellan. A journey through the town.
Right.
On the way to Toys R Us when they get that Nintendo. Can I play the booger on the windshield?
Yeah.
Invite me to the premiere.
I'll wear two shirts to the premiere, I promise.
Yes, I will. I'll wear two shirts to the premiere. I know Doogie likes it.
And nothing else.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. At that note, let's take a commercial break. More Hooli's Hooli after this.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hooli's Hooli. Stay tuned.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Welcome back. Hooli's Hooli, fourth quarter of the program. Any of you guys stepping dog crap lately?
I have not stepped in dog crap.
The only reason I bring it up is because somebody put a friend of mine.
You did, obviously.
Like four times in the past week.
You have?
Yes.
Bill, you have?
Well, the snow melted.
The snow melted.
So
there's turds everywhere.
What, are you walking through fields?
No, but if you're running out to your car and you're not paying attention on a parkway, and you're just, you know, all of a sudden you're like, ah!
It's a horrible thought.
I was sitting in my living room and I was looking out the window and I was watching a girl walk her dog. And I could see that the dog was going to the bathroom. I was just waiting. I was like, pick it up.
What would you have done if she had not?
She didn't. And I yelled. And the funny thing was, my dad was over at my place.
You should have yelled heathen out
your window. And I just yelled out the window. I was like, I think we know who was leaving their dog poop on the sidewalk. I just felt like that she would have heard me. And been like, she didn't see who I was, but she might know that, you know, she might get hit with a BB in her ass. The next time she walks by the house, she does that again.
You got a little Red Ryder BB gun? You're going to start firing off at the dog walkers that
Lee
are
like, Harvey, there's Lee probably Harvey a lot of Houlihan people over here.
I don't know. Stepping in, by the third time, you're like, you know.
Yeah, I did notice that in front of your place that there is a lot of dog poop.
You got to watch out for the poop, boys.
There's a woman who lives where I, in my row of townhomes, that does that.
She but poops it's her on the lawn?
No. She might, though.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Isn't it? My neighbor poops on the lawn.
She's weird.
She's a little off, but she makes great brownies. And she's real nice to the kids.
Yeah.
She left her dog poop all over her own lawn, but she doesn't pick it up off of her lawn.
Right.
Yeah, that's grody.
But her lawn is kind
wait
of like...
Wait till that heat hits it, boy.
Well, like, our lawn is like one long...
Wait till that sun gets going.
What are you, the mailman? You see that poop on your lawn? I know it just melted because it was snowy, but wait till the heat gets here.
Texas mailman.
Texas speckle man.
I know it's just snowing. It's snowing here. We don't get a lot of that, right? So when this snow melts, that sun hits that dog poop, boy, you're going to be in for something fierce.
Yeah. You better trim your nose hairs because they're going to get burned off.
Yep.
Right.
Better get that mask on extra tight, son.
Right. You better strap that COVID mask on tight because when the sun hits them dog turds, it ain't going to smell like spring out here.
That COVID don't get you, them heated turds will.
Anyway, yes, she doesn't pick up her dog doo-doo on her lawn.
You should send a nasty letter to her. Well,
we've tried. The other neighbors have all complained.
Yeah.
I should send a letter to the congressman.
With a photo of her.
Right.
Arrest this woman.
Right. She's the queen. Vandal. She's a dog turd queen of my block and refuses to pick it up. And the kids always end
up...
Is
she older?
Yeah, she's a little older.
Can she
older.
Like not bend down and get and do it?
I think she's a manic depressive kind of recluse and just doesn't... She doesn't take the dog for walks. So she just like lets it out of the house and it chills in the front yard and poops everywhere and then just goes back in the house. And then she never picks it up.
That sounds wonderful.
And it just like... lets it like rot back into the earth, you know.
That's
but
not good for the earth.
Well, it's fertilizer, I guess, but
no, it's dog poo.
The neighbors were not, and the village came by and they're like, there's nothing we can do about it. It's private property. She's allowed to do that.
Yeah. You know? I had an instance once, and it's
that's not true.
But her yard, there's no divider between her yard and the neighbor's yard and the neighbor's because it's like a long parkway, you know.
But if her front door wasn't painted or was the paint was chipping, the village would make her repaint it.
Right.
But not cleaning up the dog poop.
Isn't that something?
That's America.
It's your priority state.
I was at a high school party once.
Yes.
Where we were running from the police because they were interrupting the party. Remember I jumped on this, like there were like 15 guys. Scott Zuber's house. Scott Ruff just saw. I know we just talked about him recently. He just passed. But
you were running from the police.
We were running. There were probably about 10 other guys, and we all at the same time jumped on this wooden fence, and it just like it fell over just from the weight of all of us jumping on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as everyone kept running, I went off to the side because I was like, well, the police are going to just continue and whoever
followed
the pack.
Right? Really got into Rambo mode.
They did.
And I went off into this off of the side house, and it was dark out. You know, as a teenager, I probably had like 2 beers and was buzzing pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I see like this big dirt pile. Well, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to lay behind this pile.
Smart.
And, you know, kind of try to blend in and wait it out.
Yep.
Well, I'm laying on the pile, and I'm like, in about 45 seconds to a minute go by, and all of a sudden I'm like,
oh, it smells like doo-doo. It was rhinoceros poop.
And my heart was beating, you know?
So what'd you do? You have 2 choices now.
All of a sudden, I'm like,
I have to lay here.
This ain't dirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I get arrested, or do I continue to lay in it?
What'd you choose?
I took the latter, and I laid there.
You survived.
I did survive to live another day, but I remember meeting up with people later on, and my biggest fear was, am I going to have dog poop all over me? Luckily, it was still kind of somewhat frozen, and
luckily, it wasn't hot out yet.
It ain't hit it yet.
But when it does, let me tell you what, it's going to be a son of a gun.
Yeah, I was more petrified.
And the police would nab your ass.
And the mail might be late.
And smelly.
Yeah. Wow.
Did I use the right word there? I said petrified. I don't think that was the word
petrified.
I wanted to use.
Right. That poop is petrified. Anyway.
That was one of my.
I once hid in a garbage can from the police. That story next week.
Yeah, absolutely, because we are at the end. Boy, what a weird, odd show. Lots of boogers and turd talk. Went right back into 7th grade mode today. Thank you, Eddie Vedder. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can find archives if you go to hibernianradio.org, or you can find us on iTunes if you go to Hooli's Hooli Show. I do want to thank our sponsors once again. That is the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub out in Beverly and Bridgeport, Fox's Beverly Pizza, Guinness Irish Stout, and Flood Brothers Disposal. Please like and subscribe.
Yes, please do.
This is the War on Drugs taking us out.
Till next week.
This is Holding On is the name of the song. Bye.